Tonight is Yutes Kislev, which amongst many things, it's the yahrzeit of the Mezitcher Magid, as well as the Chag HaGeula of the Alter Rebbe from the Halshana. The fact that those which were opposed to the Derech of Chassidus, they spread lies about the Alter Rebbe. And Baruch Hashem, Ayutas Kislev, the day of the Istalkos of his Rebbe, the Magid, the Alter Rebbe was freed from prison. And therefore, it's only befitting to say a story of the Mezitcher Magid. But as fate would have it, we're actually going to tell a story, two stories, that were told over by a good friend of the Vilner Goyen, who's known as the Dubna Magid, but doing my research, I found out that he actually was also called the Mezritcher Magid, because there were two cities of Mezritch, Mezritch in Ukraine and Mezritch in Poland. So while our Mezritcher Magid was the Mezritcher Magid from Ukraine, the famous Litvische Dubna Magid, he was the Mezritcher Magid of Poland, later on moving to Dubno. What is he famous for? He is famous for his mesholim, his examples. He would always speak with mesholim. That was his derech of teaching, especially teaching Musar and other things. He would always say it over with stories that he would create. And it's quite fascinating, his history. His real name was Yaakov Krantz, otherwise known as the Dubna Magid. And today we are going to say over two stories, Mesholim, that he said over in connection to Moshiach. The first story is in regards to a very, very wealthy man. And this wealthy man had an only daughter. And he was a very respected person, and she was a very fine young lady. Midas Toives, all the wonderful things. Isha Yiras Hashem, Hitis Halol. And you can imagine that many people wanted her hand in marriage. Fine young woman, wealthy home, Midas Toives, everything all together. However, the father wanted, obviously, a very, very special boy for this girl. So he found this bocher, and he made the shidduch. But right before they got engaged, the bocher said that really I want to sit and learn, so he's going off to yeshiva. And their vaila, the father's waiting for him to return. And this young girl, all her friends are getting married. And she's starting to feel anxious. She's the only one left that's not married. And her mother is bothering her husband, Vastutzich. You know, it's not right. Our daughter has to get married. You can't wait around for just for your dream bocher. So what happened is, father said, you know what, if that's what you want, we'll get her married. Well, we're going to get her married to a regular guy, but you're going to see that our daughter, it's not going to be good for her. Sure enough, she gets married, a nice young man, but he's not as refined as he should be. And after a little while, they get divorced. The vayla kum tzirik, the bocher that they're waiting for, and the bocher, now the father-in-law wants to make a shidduch. He says, no, I don't want to make a shidduch with you. He says, why not? My daughter's a fine young woman. I'll support your learning. He said, but I'm afraid that you're going to kick me out. You'll divorce me, just like you did to the other son-in-law. He says, no. It's not so poshut. You I've been waiting for. The other man, I was just temporary, just because they were kvetching. So he said, how can you prove this to me? How can you show this to me? So he said, come with me. He brought him into his house. And all of a sudden he brought him to a back cabinet. And in this cabinet, there were clothes. And these clothes were measured exactly towards the, you know, the figure of this young man. He says, "Don't you see that I was waiting for you?" The other chassan didn't get this. "You see, I had this all in mind for you. I've been waiting the whole time for you. V'araya, here are the clothes that I've been waiting for you." He says, "Oy bazoy," that means you are correct. What was the nimshul? He says that Baruch Hashem, the Eibishter, he gives us many miracles. In the time of Golos, there's a lot of good things that happen. But we have to realize that until Mashiach comes, this is not it. This is just like the temporary thing in order for Mashiach to come. What the Eibishter has been waiting for, preparing for, and has in his closet, clothes for, is Mashiach. But too many times we get comfortable and when Hashem does good things for us in Golos, we say, "Oh, this is it. There's no better life than Cincinnati. What can you get better than this? This is where it's at." Can you imagine a better life? And therefore you say, "Okay, I have everything I need. The city has everything it needs." And we don't even think about this other chassan that's coming. The Vaila, the Eibishter, is preparing in his closet all these clothes, all these great giluyim befitting the wonderful chassan. But we have to make sure that we realize that this is only temporary and the great things that are going to come afterwards. That's one story, he said. The second story, he said, is also quite interesting. He said that there was one time a very wealthy man. And this wealthy man had two sons. A foolish son and a smart son. Now, when the father passed away, he told the sons in the will that you both should divide it how you want, work it out between each other. Now, the smart son knew that his brother was abyssal foolish. So he basically got himself all the good businesses and all the good properties. And his other brother, the Layutzlach, ended up with Shlemazeldike things. And being that he was a Shlemazel in itself, so even the small businesses that he did get, after a little while, all the businesses failed. And now he was basically an Araman, he's a poor person, and didn't know what to do. So he's thinking, what should I do? And his friends tell him, "Why don't you go to your brother? Your brother is very wealthy. And I'm sure he'll help you out. He'll give you a loan." But he says, "Why would my brother do that? We split up the properties." He didn't realize the bad part of the deal that he got. So he comes to his brother's house. And he's basically schmoozing with him, verbringing. And he's basically hinting him out that life is not so good. He needs money for his mortgage. He needs money for his food. He needs money for his daughter's weddings and his son's bar mitzvah. Has a whole list of things that he needs money for. It's not so pushit. He's expecting the brother to say, "Oh, I'll pay you 10%, 20%, I'll lend you some money." But the brother is so nice. The brother says, "So tell me, Poyo Mamash, how much money do you need? How much money do you need? Give me a cheshbon. How much money do you need a month?" He says, "Based on my cheshbonis, let's say $10,000 a month. That's what I need." "There's no problem. Every month from now on, getting $10,000. Sure enough, years go by and he gets $10,000. Segeit and segeit. Vayi ayoim, he's talking to a smart person. And he tells the person, "What a great brother I have. That my brother gives me $10,000 a month. And he supports me, my family. I wouldn't be able to live without him." The guy looks at him and says, "A great brother. Your brother stole all your money. He's giving you your money. He took all the good businesses. He took all the good properties. And all he's giving you now he's giving you money. But really, that money is yours. If you were smart, you would demand a fair share in the business." He says, "Huh? I hear you. Svara." So he comes to his brother. And he says, "Basically, someone revealed to me that you scammed me. That when we divided the property, You took all the good stuff for yourself. I'm left in the ditches. And I always thought you were so nice. And now I see that you really took advantage of me. And I want 50% of all, you know, whatever. I want a bigger percentage. So the brother said, I'll be honest with you. You have a richtig taina. You have a right complaint. Certain extent, yes, I did take advantage of you at the beginning, 25 years ago when Tati died. I did take certain advantage. However, after 20 years of me supporting you, your family, at this point, you have no tainus on me. At this point, whatever I took is made up. You can't come to me now when you, all of a sudden, years later, and like, oh, you have tainus. At this point, it's too late. What's the nimshel? The nimshel is that Yaakov and Esav, we know we're twin brothers. The Medrash says that why is it, if Yaakov was supposed to be the Bechor, so why did the Eibishter make it that Esav was the Bechor? If Yaakov, why do you have to go through the whole story selling the Bechorah? If Yaakov was supposed to be the Bechor, let him be the Bechor. L'chatchila would solve all these issues of Esav hating Yaakov's feeling that he was taken advantage of. So the Medrash says that Be'etzem, by being the Bechor, he took all the pressures and all the negative things went to Esav. There was a bunch of Puranias that was supposed to come. But on the other hand, it did come with certain strengths that it's Esav for many generations. Unfortunately, the Bnei Yaakov are in Golos, and they're under the rulership of Esav. When Mashiach comes, then Esav realizes that all these things that he had the whole time. So it's brought down that Esav is like this brother. That Esav feels very good, just like the brother feels good that he's being supported by his brother. Esav feels good that he's ruling over Yaakov. However, when Mashiach's going to come, someone's going to open up the eyes of Esav, and he's going to realize that, Einach Hanami, you ruled us in the time of Galus. But now when the real money comes in, when the real prize is here, when Mashiach is here, you're going to be living in the dirt. You're going to be off out of the charts. And they're going to come complaining to Yaakov that we fooled them. Complaining to Bnei Yisrael that we took advantage of Esav. Look here, Mashiach came and you took everything and you left us all behind. But just like the brother said, that after me supporting you all these years, now you have no kindness. In other words, after all the galus that Esav thought that he ruled Bnei Yisrael, now when Mashiach comes, we're going to turn to Esav and say, at this point, you already got your fun. You already thought you were in charge. You already ruled us for all these years. And now we will not owe you anything. Adarabe, Volu Mashiach Bar Tzion. And that the Rebbe says in this week's Parshiyos of Vayishlach, Vayeshev, where it speaks about the Alufei Edoim, and it speaks about the life of Esav and the birth of Yosef, that it's specifically in our generation now that we're able through the Koyach of the Beis Yosef, the house of Yosef, which the Rebbe is the Beis Yosef, married the Friedrich Rebbe's daughter, is the family of Yosef, the Friedrich Rebbe. The Rebbe is the one that poil the birur of Edoim, poil the birur of Esav. And we've reached a time that Baruch Hashem, we're holding otot, that v'olu moshim ba'atzin lish b'tasar Esav. And that's why we find that the world today, especially Golas Edoim, and America, which is Edoim, is now a malchus shel chesed, is supporting Yidin, recognizing Yidin as a nation, and their right to Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael. This is Edoim saying, Yidden, we finally realize what the real MS is.